Mike Dell's World, number 250.
I think it's time for Mike Dell's World.
There it is.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel. Of that I'm sure. People kill and people dying. Children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? Won't you turn the other cheek? Forever young, I wanna be forever young. I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm your lipstick stains on the front lobe of my left side brains. I knew I wouldn't forget you if I could. Then I would, I'd go wherever you will
and
go.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Nobody wants to see us together, but it don't matter, no.
Cause I got country, you. Oh, take me home to the place where I belong.
Fan, I'll follow you until you love me. Papa, Papa,
well, I can't live with or without you. Pictures of you, pictures of me, hung upon your wall for the world to see.
And she will be loved. Yes, she will.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me.
No woman, no cry.
Yeah, Mama, this surely is a dream.
I come from a land down under, red, white, and blue. Funny things you do. America, America, this is you.
They say that Taylor was a good girl, never wanted to be late, complain, express ideas in her brain.
I need some love like I've never needed love before. I'm gonna make love to your baby.
Take on me
when I come around.
Take me on
when I come around.
I'll be gone when I want to. Save tonight.
Gonna take a lot to drag me
and
away
fight the
from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do.
Here I am once again. I'm torn into pieces. Can't deny it, can't pretend. Just thought you were the one in my head. I see you all over me in my head. You fulfill my fantasy in my
despite
head.
Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in
what
a cage.
What if God was one of us?
Tell me why'd you have to go make things so complicated. See the way you're acting like somebody.
I know she's playing with me. Well, that's okay, cause I got no self-esteem. With a thousand eyes and a good disguise. Hit 'em right between the eyes. Hit 'em right between the eyes.
You're so beautiful. So damn beautiful.
Too late to apologize.
Just gonna stand there and watch me burn. That's alright, because I like the way it hurts.
It's my life, it's now or never. I ain't gonna live forever.
Can't read my, no he can't read my poker face.
Come on Bobby, let's go party.
Hello. Double rain.
rainbow all the way across the sky. Yeah, so intense. Enjoy yourself. Take only what you need from it. A family of trees won't end.
Time to say goodbye.
Little DeSuto Conte.
Old acquaintance be forgot
and never brought to mind.
I'm more than a boat. I'm more than a plane. I'm a bird plane. I'm a bird plane, a motherfucking bird plane.
Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that hit too close to home? Doesn't that make you shiver the way that things have gone? And doesn't that seem peculiar? 'Cause everyone wants a little more. It's something I do remember to never go this far. That's all it takes to be a star.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever the case may be. It is Saturday, August 20th, 2016, and of course I am Mike Dell. Lots of stuff going on from the last time I spoke. Let's see, first thing, Benny, our new beagle, is growing up quickly. He's, I don't know, 3.5 months old now. He's up to around 14 pounds, and calming down a little bit, so that's the update on the beagle situation. Oh, by the way, that song that I just played, it's called Four Chords. Basically, those same four chords fit in all those songs, and I just thought that was kind of neat, so I thought I'd play it. Kind of go old school a little bit. I don't know as I'll play any more music in this episode. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, but I do have a couple of rants that I want to talk about, which, you know, some people like them, some people don't, but it's basically stuff I don't understand, which covers an awful lot. But first, I wanted to say this is kind of a milestone episode, number 250, and yeah, you know, that doesn't sound like a lot for a show that's been on a little over 11 years, 11 years and a few months, but then again, if I counted all of the little episodes I did and you know, the Benzoid Report, the Mike Dell Unplugged, Mike Dell's World, and all the little phone-in ones I did, I bet you I'm probably up around episode 400, but I didn't count all of those, and I don't have all of those, so we're just going to go with the official count of 250. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of history for those of you that haven't listened to me before. I've been podcasting since around April of 2005. So, like I said, hence 11 years and a little bit. And started out as the Benzoid Report, did some 90 episodes of that, and then switched the name to Mike Dell's World. And then for a short time, I just did Mike Dell's audio blog, and then I decided, oh, no, we'll take those episodes and turn them back into Mike Dell's World, and hence, here we are today. But this has always been kind of my experimental show, kind of the show that I do just because I feel like turning on the mic and doing it, and that's what got me into podcasting in the first place, so it was definitely a learning experience that you know, doing this podcast, you know, led me to doing other podcasts, and a whole bunch of them didn't survive. Let's see if I can remember the whole list. Of course, I did the Ham Radio Pod Class with John Martin. That site is still there. It's hamradiopodclass.com, and I'll leave it up for a while, but I've decided we're not going to redo that. I was going to this year, and my interest in ham radio has waned a little bit, but the show still lives on in the archives over at hamradioclass.com, I think. Yeah, I think. Anyway, and I did a lot of work on this site, by the way, so I've gotten rid of some of the other iterations of Mike Dell's World and Benzoid Report, and I tried to find as many of them as I could, and I put them in the feed on the dates that they were released. So you'll notice if you look at the entire feed of Mike Dell's World, it'll go back quite a ways, although it doesn't go all the way back to the beginning, and some episodes are missing. I think it starts at about Benzoid Report number 30 in the feed, and I've opened it up to where all of them are in the feed. So what is in the feed is what I've got. If you happen to have been listening for a long time or happen to find any of the episodes that I'm missing, let me know, and we'll definitely get those put up. But until then, let's see. Other podcasts I've done and quit doing. Geek of the North, which is technically active over at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. But I'm actually thinking that one's probably going to die a permanent death here pretty soon as well. I'm not sure yet. But the motivation to produce that many podcasts in a week or a month kind of comes and goes. That's why this show is unscheduled. And that's why I'm on hiatus with my next show that I'm going to talk about is podcasthelpdesk.com. That one's going to start back up on its weekly schedule here in about, another month or so. It'll be less than that, probably another couple weeks, because the podcasting space is heating up, and it's definitely getting more interesting. And now that I'm settled into the job, I can now start concentrating on producing that show on a weekly basis and this show on a however, whenever basis, as I always have. Let's see. We did a daily show called Strange Today. Did that for a year. Did that for a complete year. I had some co-hosts on that, or not co-hosts, but I don't know what you'd call it. I hosted one, and my wife would host one, and we had a guy that did the weekends, Russ Woodman. He hosted the weekend shows, and we did that daily, 365 episodes, and I don't think I have a one of them on my hard drive anywhere. They might still be out there somewhere, but Strange Today lasted, like I said, a year. And then I tried another daily. That lasted about 3 months. That was Aviation History Today. And then I switched it to Aviation History This Week, and then just did a weekly show for a while, and kind of lost interest in that as well. Pod faded, as they say. But it's always been an adventure. Let's see. I did one for a short time called Retro Tech, which is where I interviewed people about old technology. Old stuff that they did way back in the day. And that was a lot of fun, but I only did about 8 episodes of that and decided getting people to interview every week was more difficult than it was fun to do. So I decided not to do that. Now on Podcast Help Desk, I do interview from time to time. In fact, the last show that I did this summer was with Ray Palermo of Raspberry Hill Productions and the podcast to radio service over at blueberry.com. And that was a nice interview, nice chat with Ray, and should have some nice intro and outro music and whatnot coming here pretty soon for Podcast Help Desk. So that'll be fun. But, the mainstay's always been Mike Dell's World. Like I said, iterated. I changed it again, like I said, in, around episode 90-something to Mike Dell's World, then changed it to the audio blog, and then Mike Dell Unplugged, and I think I had a video feed and all that. And combined all those feeds and got rid of all the excess stuff, and now Mike Dell's World is it, and the feed has everything in it that I have. So enough about that. So this past weekend was the Sugar Island Music Fest that I go to every year. And, of course, had a lot of fun there. My folks were not able to come up this year due to a couple of things. And so it was just my wife and I and good friends of ours, Vicky and Jeff, and their daughter, Indy. But we had a great time and, of course, got to see all the Sugar Island crew and listen to some good music and dodge some thunderstorms and sweat and swat mosquitoes and, you know, all that good stuff you do in the UP. But had a good time and got back Sunday evening, got the camper all put away, and we're mostly settled back in. I still can't find the charger for my, why is my phone ringing? Okay, well, I'm back after the phone ringing incident. My work number is powered by Google Voice. And of course, on the weekends, I either put it on Do Not Disturb or I just let it ring through. But it rings my work cell phone, rings my home cell phone, and it rings my Skype. Of course, I have Skype turned on for some reason, so I remedied that, so Skype is no longer on, and I put the Google Voice number on Do Not Disturb, which sends it to voicemail. Of course, those of you that have listened for a while know that I've recently took a job full-time as the customer support coordinator for Blueberry Podcasting, and one of my duties is to answer the tech support line, which the only company in podcasting that offers phone support. And I'll tell you what, it's really been great. I don't mind a bit. We get, you know, don't get a ton of calls, but when we get the calls and I can answer something in, you know, 3, 4, or 5 minutes, and, you know, it's just real impressive to customers and all that. But yeah, we didn't come here to talk about that. So anyway, we got back from Sugar Island last Sunday. Got the camper all put away. I think I said that already. But I still can't find my charger for my phone. I have a, you know, it's a 12-volt charger. You know, plugs in the cigarette lighter plug, or what used to be the cigarette lighter plug in cars. And by the way, a little later on, I'm going to be talking a lot about cars. In fact, that's my rant. Or not really a rant, but just something I don't get. But anyway, I have one of those that has two USBs in it because, you know, I have to charge the iPhone and I have to charge either the work phone or the iPad or, you know, who knows, or my wife's phone, whatever. So I had this nice charger with, and I got a few cables for it. So I can do iPhones or Androids or whatever's. And still haven't found that. I know I packed it in a place that I should know where it is, but I don't. I hate when that happens.
I walked through the damp, foggy streets, my mind swirling. So much content, so many podcasts. How do I find the best? Then it hit me like a big blue neon sign flashing through the mist. Blueberry. All I had to do was drop the E's and go to blueberry.com. Blueberry, the digital media interface for consumers, creators, and advertisers.
And why not throw in a little bit of advertising here for my employer? If you are wanting to start a podcast and want some media hosting or even web hosting, we've got WordPress sites over there. If you go to my other new podcast, TraverseCityPodcast.com, that is a WordPress site that is served by Blueberry via the PowerPress sites. So if you want a free month of any of the services over at Blueberry, use the promo code HELPDESK. HELPDESK, one word, and that'll give you a free month of service over at Blueberry. And my eternal gratitude. So, anyway, let's go to, let me look at my notes here. One of the rants that I had was, and you know, one of the things that I don't get is the whole driving in the left lane on the freeway thing. I'm sure everybody's got an opinion about that, and that, you know, anybody that's going slower than me needs to be in the right lane to let us pass and blah, 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 blah. Okay, yeah, I get it. I get it. But my problem with that is, okay, if I'm doing 70 miles an hour, which is the speed limit, okay? 70 miles an hour is the speed limit. It's the fastest speed that you are allowed to go legally on the freeway, at least here in Michigan. Okay? Following me? People will argue with me if I'm doing 70 and I'm in the left lane and I'm passing somebody doing 65, that I should still get out of the way of them because they want to go 75 or they want to go 80 or they want to go 85 or they want to go 90. And my contention is, by definition, if I'm doing the fastest legal speed, which is 70 miles an hour, then I therefore am the fastest thing on the road, or I should be the fastest thing on the road. And the fact that you want to go faster does not make it so that I need to get behind the people that are doing 60 or 55. You know, in Michigan, we have a thing where the trucks are supposed to only do 60 and everybody else can do 70. Okay, so that means there's a lot of trucks doing 60 in the left lane or in the right lane. Okay, and if I'm traveling along and I want to do 70, I want to set my cruise at 70, I get in the left lane, I can do 70. And that's totally legal. And I'm passing everybody in the right lane. So I am technically out there passing, even though there might not be any trucks or anything in the right lane. And I know that just drives people crazy. They come up behind me, they're doing 80 miles an hour, they slow down, they pass on the right, they flip me off, da-da-da-da-da-da. Great. I hope they have a terrible day. I'm an asshole that way. Sorry, but, you know, I look at it, you know, why should I get over in the right lane to let everybody go by that's doing 80, especially when it gets busy, okay? So I'm getting closer to a bigger town, you know, and I do a fair amount of driving still. I get closer to a bigger town, and there's a whole bunch of trucks doing 60, or 62 probably, because, you know, a lot of them are governed there. You also get the occasional motorhome and whatever. Okay, if I get over in the right lane, I've got a whole string of cars doing 80. They're going to block me from getting back in the left lane to pass these people, so therefore I can't do 70. I either have to do 80, or I have to do 60. So I should be able to do 70 and stay in that left lane as long as there's traffic in the right lane. You know, why should I have to pull over? Seriously, I want to hear people's opinion. I, you know, my wife just hates that. She's like, oh, you should be over there. It's just for passing, and you shouldn't be out there doing 70. You know, people are wanting to go faster. Well, tough crap. You know, the law says the speed limit is 70. If you want to go faster than 70, you have to put up with the inconvenience of people going slower, because people going slower are following the law and the people going faster are not. So, and in Michigan, they will actually give you a ticket if you're in the left lane and you're not actively passing somebody. But I would just love to fight that one in court, because are you kidding me? You're going to give me a ticket for inconveniencing somebody who's breaking the law behind me when I'm not technically breaking the law. I mean, okay, yeah, if I'm in the left lane and there's nobody in the right lane, then I guess technically I am breaking the law. But if there's a car, say, half a mile ahead of me and I can see them and they're in the right lane, I'm passing that car. That's what I would say in court. Hey, there's a car half a mile ahead of me, and he's going slower than 70. I'm in the left lane in anticipation of passing that car. And the fact that there's somebody behind me going 80, the person behind me going 80 should be getting the ticket, not me, because I'm doing 70. I'm doing the speed limit. Now, if I'm out there doing 65, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't be in the left lane. But if I'm doing 70, the speed limit, or maybe even a little faster, you know, I do go 73 maybe. You know, I've always found that going 80 miles an hour, I get way worse gas mileage. So why would I, you know, why would I, you know, go that fast? There's no reason. You don't make up a lot of time going faster than the speed limit. You really don't. You know, going between here and Grand Haven, which is a trip that we make quite a bit, I've tested that. I told my wife, I said, this time we're not going to go over the speed limit at all. I'm going to set the cruise. In fact, we're going to go 65. I'm going to set the cruise and sit in the right, or, you know, sit in the right lane and, you know, pass when I can, but I'm going to go 65 or whatever in the, and set the cruise all the way down there. It was a 4-minute difference over 150 miles. Because, you know, when you're going 80, you end up slowing down for somebody that's passing going 60 or 70 or whatever. And, you know, the stop and the start, and then you burn more gas. You're more frustrated when you get there because, you know, if you're trying to go 80 and, you know, I understand that's frustrating, but go the speed limit. Really, there's no real legitimate reason to go faster than the speed limit in normal circumstances. Now, if you're an ambulance and you're in a hurry, yeah, but you know, they got lights and sirens. I'll get right out of the way. That's how that works. But if you're just some self-important asshole that's late for work, driving your BMW or your Audi or your Porsche or whatever you're driving, I don't feel bad for you one little bit. Deal with it. 70 miles an hour is more than fast enough for most of these roads. Now, again, in Michigan, they are talking about bumping up the speed limit to either 75 or 80 on the freeway. Great. Awesome. I'll go 70 in the right lane, or I will bump it up to 80 and just burn more gas, whatever. But, you know, but right now, as it sits in the state of Michigan, now in other states, it's more, it's less. I get it. Ohio, I think it's mostly 65, although I think they've changed it down there. I haven't been down there in a few months. I have to go down there here pretty soon. Got to show my face at the office once in a while just so that they know I still exist. But, you know, that's just one of my things I don't quite understand. You know, why it is that people think that they can go 80 and I somehow have to get out of their way if I choose not to break the law. Now, like I said, I'm not holier than thou or anything like that when it comes to driving. You know, I do bust the speed limit from time to time, but I don't expect people to accommodate that. You know, I expect people to drive the speed limit. And if they're not driving the speed limit, I expect them to do what they're supposed to do and deal with it. And along with that, another thing, you know, like I said, do some driving. I've done quite a bit of driving. And it's funny to me when somebody passes you and you look at the back of their car and it's got, you know, Honda Civic 5-speed fuel injected V6 all across the back of the car. Really? Who's that for? You know, I don't care that he's got a V6 and a 5-speed transmission. I don't care if it's fuel injected, carbureted, or nuclear powered. It doesn't matter to me. So why is it advertised on the back of the car? And I think I answered my own question. It's advertising. You know, it is handy when you're looking to buy a car to have that on there, but why can't they have that on a window sticker? You know, why should, you know, even the logo of the manufacturer of the car, why is that important? I mean, it's important to the manufacturer of the car, but why is that important to the driver? You know, okay, yeah, you know, somebody has a Cadillac. I've got a Cadillac. Somebody has a Cadillac. Oh, you know, he's got a Cadillac. Ooh, you know, but I don't care about that. Got the Cadillac because it was cheap at the time and has nice seats. But I didn't get it as a status symbol. And I understand people do get cars as status symbols and whatnot. But you know, the Kia Rio fuel-injected S model on the back of your car, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't get Kias anyway, but... That's beside the point. But I've noticed that for a long time. You know, there's just, you know, every little feature of the car that they can slap on a badge on the back of the car is on there. Now, some of the more expensive cars, they don't do that. You know, you get a Mercedes, they've got a number and maybe a D or an S or a T, you know, for the model number. But they don't have, you know, V6, inline 6, V8, V12, you know, none of that stuff. It's not relevant, unless you're showing off. And I think that's what they're doing.
We've all heard about the recent abuse of GoFundMe pages on Facebook, such as the morons trying to raise money after spending everything they own on Powerball tickets, or the woman who needed cash to get a marijuana tattoo removed from her forehead. Now, the creators of the GoFundMe platform have created something to stop this rampant abuse. It's called the GoFundYourself page.
GoFundYourself!
How do GoFundYourself accounts work? There's just three easy steps. Number one, get off your ass. Number two, get a job. Number three, get a life. Complete those three easy steps and you're ready to GoFund yourself.
GoFund yourself.
This message paid for by the 50% of the country still working and paying taxes.
GoFund yourself.
All right, switching gears. As you know, we're in the political season. And no, I'm not going to talk about my politics or my opinion too much. But one of the things I find really interesting is politicians, or not even politicians, people who are pulling for the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, the left, the right, the conservatives, the liberals, you know, the two main groups in the United States in particular, they treat it as sports. They treat it like sports. And let me explain that. I've got a friend who's a really big Ohio State football fan. And she, you know, every time that she talks about the Ohio State Buccaneers football team, or she's talking to somebody who has season tickets to the big house at Ann Arbor for the University of Michigan, go Blue. But anyway, whenever she talks about the Buckeyes, she says, "We won this. We got this. We did that. Right? We won the game. We. She didn't play any football. And, you know, she's my age. So even if she did play football, it would have been a long time ago. And chances are it wouldn't have been on that team. But what I'm saying is that's how people talk about sports teams. They're like, "We did this, we won, we lost, we did this, we did that." No, you didn't do anything. You sat there in front of the TV and screamed at it and watched the game. That's what you did. No "we" there. They won the game, or they lost the game, or they got a touchdown, or whatever. And it's the same thing with politics. With politics, it's, you know, the Democrat, if you're a Democrat, everything any Republican says is stupid unless it's repeated by a Democrat, and then it's gospel. And I don't think most people think about it that far. You know, I don't think most people are that deep into the politics. Now, I kind of am. And like I said, anybody that knows me, I kind of have a disdain for both the Democrats and the Republicans, because they're, you know, because of this problem. They all kind of say the same things in different ways, and then all they do is sit there and talk about how terrible each of them are. You know, well, the Republicans do this, and the Democrats do that, and, you know, or this particular candidate, you know, did X, Y, and Z when he was 14 years old, and he can't be president now, or, you know, he's kind of a blowhard, or, you know, a liar. You know, they all say that they're liars. They're all liars, every one of them, because they don't tell the whole story. But, you know, people get so team-oriented with the Republicans and the Democrats and, you know, conservatives and liberals, however you want to look at that, and they don't think about the individual issues. I would guess that most people that call themselves Democrats don't believe that the government should run everything. You know, they don't believe that the government's the answer to everything. The Republicans, I'm sure there's a lot of people that call themselves Republicans that could give a rat's ass whether somebody's gay, gets married, what color they are, any of that stuff. But, you know, they get branded as racist. Then the Democrats get branded as socialist. And most of the people are somewhere in the middle. You know, some of the, you know, hard left, hard right people are that. But what happens is, okay, in a presidential election, we got Hillary against Trump. You know, Trump is a reality TV star that he's probably okay qualified to be president. You know, no worse or no better than anybody else, I wouldn't think. But, you know, yeah, he said a lot of stuff and it's all public knowledge and he says a lot of stuff still and, you know, so be it. But it doesn't make him the Antichrist any more than, you know, Hillary. You know, Hillary, I got some inside information about Hillary, but that's a whole nother thing. But, you know, just the generic Democrat is not evil. I mean, you know, and the president gets way too much credit or blame for things that go on in the economy. They really do. If the president had control of the economy to the point where it's going to be a good economy or a bad economy, don't you think that any president, Republican, Democrat, communist, socialist, whatever, would have a good economy? Because that's good. But they don't have that control. If they had that control, we'd never have a bad economy. So, you know, you can kind of just discount most of that talk about the economy as far as who's the president. Because, you know, if Hillary gets in there, it's most likely not going to be the end of the world. If Trump gets in there, it's most likely not going to be the end of the world. It really isn't. And, you know, just because you've called yourself a Democrat or a Republican for however many years does not make every Republican or Democrat correct. Now, something interesting's happening in the Republican side. There's a lot of Republicans that are saying, no, we don't want Trump in there. And that's kind of a first. I can't think of another, you know, major party nominee that's getting lack of support from, you know, run-of-the-mill Republican politicians like Trump has. Now, like I said, I'm not against Trump or, well, I am against Hillary. Sorry, I have to admit that. But, you know, I don't think that that either one of them are going to cause the end of the world. Yeah, they could. You know, that's just the way it is, but so could anybody else. You know, my thought is I'm more libertarian. And, you know, libertarians don't really have a snowball's chance in hell, but, and some of the things they talk about are a little wacko too, but overall, I'm kind of that way. I'm fiscally conservative, so, you know, I don't care to have the government take over everything. In fact, I'd rather have the government stay out of most things. But on the social issues, it's not my business. It's not my business if you're gay. It's not my business if you want to get married to a phone book. I really don't care. I think government should stay out of marriage altogether to begin with. It's, you know, really that's more of a religious thing or a social thing. It's not a government thing. Or it shouldn't be. I guess it is, but shouldn't be. So I really didn't want to get into too many politics, but you know, if you see my point about the team mentality, you know, just like my friend who's into the Ohio Buckeyes, you know, she didn't win the game. The game was won by the football team, you know. So when Michigan wins, I don't go, "We won." No, I go, "Hey, U of M won. Cool." You know, that's kind of the same thing with politics. You know, you pick a team and you want to see your team win, but I really honestly don't think that most people go that deep into what that really means. And when it comes to the Democrats and the Republicans, it really doesn't mean a heck of a lot. It means a little bit. You know, there are some things that I am definitely interested in. You know, Hillary would like to take away my ability to own guns, and Trump says he wouldn't. He probably wouldn't mind it either way, but like I said, I think I'd have a better chance with Trump. But to be honest with you, I'm not voting for either one of them. I'm voting for Gary Johnson, who's the Libertarian candidate. And, you know, before you email me and say that I'm wasting my vote, well, if enough people, quote unquote, wasted their vote on somebody they actually believe in instead of who they think is going to win, we'd be a lot better off. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I like the coffee. I like the tea. I like the job and the job, it likes me. Coffee and tea and the job and me. Cup, I will bring you your good morning coffee. Could you smile, smile, smile? If not now, well then have a sip or two and maybe in a while you can smile. But little down the body and do the body and do the body and do the body and do the body and do. I love you in the good morning and in the night. And every day I work with you. Wherever we are, I know I'm gonna be alright. It's alright. But little love the body and do the body and do. Oh, it's morning time, baby. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. It's one of those gray, misty, chilly mornings. Hard to tell the sun is even up, but it is. Morning is here. Morning is broken, like the first morning. It's time to wake up and face another day in our troubled and confusing world. I know that's hard for you, my love. I know you have a hard time waking up in the morning. I myself, I wake up like a small boy every day, cheerful, happy, smiling, singing. And then by noon, I feel fairly mature. By evening, I'm in deep despair. I wake up the next day, I'm okay again. I know it's kind of the opposite of that for you, my love, which is probably why we get along as well as we do, especially along about early afternoon. But you know what I did this morning, baby? Even though it's cold out, I ran into the kitchen. I made you some coffee. Even though I'm kind of an Earl Grey type of guy myself. I like that tea. Coffee seems a little bitter to me, but you love coffee, and that's what love is all about. Learning to love what your lover loves. Getting as close as you can, anyway. And in spite of the way the song sounds, my love, I didn't make it in a percolator. You know I wouldn't do that to you. I know you're a coffee aficionado. You people don't even want to hear about percolators, no. I use the number 6 milliliter filter in the pour-through cone. I use those good dark French roast beans. I ground them up in a little grinder thing. I timed it when I was grinding them, just for you, my love. It's some good stuff. I got my finger down in there by that blade. Watch out, it's sharp. I got every fleck of that black gold out. I got it all into the cone. Put in a little half and half, because I know you like that. It's some good stuff. If you could just sit up now, and just try and open your left eye. Just work on your left eye. It's all downhill from there. Get your olfactory past your zone, get a whiff of this stuff. Everything's going to be all right, baby. Really, it is. Sun is up, it's gonna be a beautiful day. Here's your coffee, it may still be too hot, it is freshly brewed. And I'll just pour myself a cup and then I'm gonna crawl in with you. Move over, baby. I will bring you your good morning coffee. Good smile. Bobby's ready.
Okay, on a different note, those of you that know me know that I'm a Air Force veteran, and I worked with the F-111 fighter bombers for most of my career, a little bit of time with the F-15s, F-16s, and a bunch of other stuff in test, but for the most part, I was an F-111 guy. The F-111's been retired now since 1998. The last version was retired in the United States, and in Australia, they retired theirs in 2010, so there's no more flyable F-111s out there. It's one of those airplanes that would be way too expensive for even the richest civilian to fly. And it's a maintenance hog and all that. And there's not too many of them left. They've crushed most of them, but there are quite a few on display. But I'm not actually talking about the F-111. I'm thinking about the A-10. The A-10 aircraft is a slow, highly maneuverable, quote-unquote fighter-type airplane, but it's really not a fighter. It's really a 30-millimeter cannon with wings and some engines on it and a titanium bathtub for the pilot to sit in so he can get shot at a lot and still fight the fight. The Air Force, probably since the beginning, didn't really want that airplane. The Air Force generals all, want to, if it doesn't go Mach 2, we don't want it. Well, the A-10, probably goes 500 miles an hour, maybe a little faster in a pinch. But it can go really slow, and it can fly for a long time. It's a real stick-and-rudder airplane, real warhorse. And the Air Force is trying to get rid of it. And Congress keeps, and good, more power to them, Congress keeps telling them, no, you got to keep them. And the Army, because the Army and the Marine Corps love that airplane because that's who gets them out of a pinch in the battlefield. It's close air support. And, no airplane out there can do what this airplane does. And the Air Force for the longest time has been trying to get away from single-use type airplanes, like the F-111. The F-111 was specifically made for air interdiction. What that is bombing the airfields of the enemy or other strategic targets to prevent them from becoming part of the battle. And then the EF-111 went out there and was a radar jammer. The new F-18G Growler, which the Navy has, and I think the Australians have that now, has taken over that role, but it used to be the E-6B from the Navy and the EF-111 from the Air Force that did that role in electronic combat. And it was a great airplane, but they don't like single-use airplanes. They want airplanes that do everything. So they come up with this F-35. And the F-35 is a whole bunch of compromises packed into an airplane. Now, granted, it's fifth generation. It's got lots of computer power and gizmos and gadgets, and it's probably a wonderfully flying airplane. Don't know. I've heard some reports that it's a great airplane, but they're expensive, and they don't do anything perfectly. They do everything adequately, but they don't. They're not like a single-use airplane, like the SR-71, the Blackbird. And that's been pretty much replaced with drones now, but, overflying enemy territory and taking pictures at, ridiculous altitudes and speeds, that airplane was great at that. The F-4 Wild Weasel, that airplane was used to take out SAM missile sites. So they'd go in front of an attack package and try to take out all the SAM missile sites. And that airplane was equipped with missiles that would do just that. And the thing was maneuverable. And, it was a great airplane, did that well. The F-16CJ has taken that over, the Wild Weasel mission. And, F-16's okay. The F-16 is one of those airplanes that does a lot of things well. It's one of those multi-use airplanes. It's a good bomber. It's a decent fighter. Does the Wild Weasel thing. But it doesn't do them as well as the airplanes that were designed just to do that. Same thing with interceptors. The F-15 is probably the best interceptor we've had up until the F-22. Before that, they had a bunch of interceptor-only type airplanes, like the F-106. It was specifically meant to be an interceptor. You know, that's flying out to meet incoming enemy aircraft and taking them out air-to-air. The F-15 does that wonderfully. They made a bomber version of the F-15 that sort of took over the air interdiction from F-111s. That's the F-15E. And yeah, it's a formidable airplane, but it's an adaptation of an air-to-air superiority fighter, not a true purpose-built aircraft. So anyway, all that to say that the A-10 is the best at what it does. And it's, you know, it's a close air support aircraft. It, right in the ground battlefield, they go out and you know, they can take out tanks and take out, individual people if they have to. But, it's meant for that. It stays right in the thing. They turn right around, right over the battlefield. They don't have to go out 3 miles and turn around, make another pass like the F-16 or the F-35 is going to have to do. I left the F-22 out of it because that is one kick-ass airplane. But that would be a great replacement for the F-15, except for Congress cut them off at 187 airplanes. Okay, the F-15, there's a couple thousand of them out there, and so they're never going to replace the F-15, but they are probably the best air-to-air superiority aircraft out there. But the A-10 is the best at what it does. And I started to talk about the Army. The Army said, hey, well, if you guys want to get rid of them, we'll take them. Well, there's a law out there, obviously pushed by the Air Force, that says that the Army can't operate fixed-wing aircraft. Now they have a few cargo planes and whatnot, but, they're supposed to stick to helicopters. But I don't see any real reason why the Army couldn't have those airplanes. Or better yet, here's my idea for the United States Air Force or the United States military. If I was in charge for the day or in charge of the military and had, I could just do what I wanted to do, here's how I would do it. I would say anything that flies goes to the Air Force. Anything that floats goes to the Navy. Any ground troops are Army. Get rid of the Marine Corps. Okay, we could have a Marine Corps within the Army, whatever, just like the old Army Air Corps, so that the Marines could be on boats, but, they'd be Army. The airplanes on boats would be Air Force. The boats themselves would be run by the Navy. Really, it's the U.S. forces that, and I know there's a lot of tradition and all that that goes along with it that, we'd have to accommodate somehow. But if I could just, flip a switch and do what I think is right, reorganize it, because that would certainly take a lot of the redundancy out of the military. And the military kind of is doing that now. They have a lot of bases that they've, joint bases. So like Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and Hickam Air Force Base, Hawaii, were actually co-located at the Honolulu International Airport. And there's a harbor right there, too. So, that's Pearl Harbor. Well, they finally got it organized now where that is Joint Base Hickam Pearl Harbor. I think that's the official name. Not sure. In Washington, they had Fort Richardson that's up in Anchorage. Yeah, it's Fort Richardson in Anchorage, Alaska, and then there was an Air Force base up there. I think, was it, I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, they combined those two. They combined the one in Washington, McCord Air Force Base, got combined. All the bases in San Antonio, Texas, which, there was a bunch, all got combined. So they call that Joint Base San Antonio. And, that kind of thing does help. But what I'm thinking is, why not have anything that flies be part of the Air Force? Okay, Air Force pilots would be flying onto carriers. So they'd still be naval aviators because they would be carrier qualified. So, you know, you could keep that tradition. You know, you could have the gold wings for the ones that are carrier qualified and the silver wings for the ones that aren't. Big deal. You know, helicopters, you know, yeah, the Army would get ticked off about that, but why not have Air Force take care of the helicopters? They already have a bunch of them. Why not have them take care of all of them? Marine Corps, like I said, could just be absorbed into the Army or the Air Force, depending on if it's aviation or ground pounders. Same thing with the naval aviators. They would just transfer over to the Air Force and be under, you know, one command. And, you know, that way all the aircraft would be under one set of commanders and, you know, and all that. And, you know, all the boats and ships and stuff that the Navy does, you know, would be under the Navy, and all the ground pounders would be Army. That just makes sense. Why have, you know, even in the Air Force, believe it or not, there are Air Force ships. There's at least three of them I know of. They're not huge. They're tugboat size. But in the panhandle of Florida there's the what they call the Tyndall Navy. And that's Tyndall Air Force Base has two or three tugboat size ships that go out and pick up drone targets, you know, aerial targets that get shot down over the Gulf of Mexico. And so it's, you know, Air Force, you know, the job of the people on the boat, they're known as Air Force seamen. So, you know, that happens. It's like Navy pilots, Air Force pilots, Marine Corps pilots, Army pilots, you know, why can't all of them just be Air Force pilots? Because air is the air. You know, separate them out that way. I don't know. Maybe I'm full of shit, but that's what I'm thinking. So with that, let's call this a podcast. Sorry I went off on politics and whatever, but I figured for episode 250, I'd get a whole bunch of stuff off my chest. I think I got everything that I had written down talked about. Yep, I sure did. Don't know when the next episode's going to be. I am going to start doing podcast help desk, like I said, weekly here, probably in a couple of weeks, sometime in September, probably first part of September. And I'm not sure what schedule I'm going to do as far as the day it releases, but I'm going to make it so that I've got a couple of days ahead of time to get it recorded and ready to go. Not record and publish like I had been doing. Same thing with the Traverse City podcast. Now, I'm not setting a schedule with the Traverse City podcast. It's going to be more like this, except for it's going to be shorter shows. I'm going to cover history, events, and every episode I'm going to talk about the weather because, you know, the weather is pretty important up here to us and to those who are snowbirds. Go away in the winter. So you know, everybody likes to hear how much snow we're getting when they're sitting in Florida drinking a Mai Tai. So the Traverse City Podcast, watch for that over at traversecitypodcast.com or actually it's tcmi.blueberry.com. And of course, podcasthelpdesk.com for my podcast show, which will be, like I said, weekly here in a little bit. And with that, hope everybody's having a great time out there for the last bit of summer here. Kind of looking forward to things slowing down in the fall. We've had a very, very busy summer with people visiting and of course the whole dog thing, you know, getting a new dog, losing the old dog. We did sign up for a thing called Midwest Brew. Go over to see those over at gotbeagles.com and or is it .org? I think it's .com. And that's the Midwest Beagle Rescue and Welfare. I don't know what brew exactly stands for. But anyway, I volunteered for that, so we'll be doing some beagle rescuing, which means like if there's a beagle that shows up in some shelter around here, I'll go over and adopt it for the Midwest Brew and get all the skinny on them, get them up to health, and then adopt them out. So I'll be fostering beagles, hopefully not too many at a time. But it's just something my wife and I wanted to do. My wife wanted to do the Big Brother, Big Sister thing. And due to some of the crazy political rules and whatnot with that organization, and it's a great organization, but if you're going to volunteer for it, they definitely have some requirements that are a little beyond what they should be doing. So we decided we both love the dogs. And if we can't do the Big Brother, Big Sister thing, we'll do the dog thing. So I'm going to be doing Beagle Rescue. So stay tuned for more stories in that realm as we get it to foster some beagles. And I'm sure that'll be an adventure because beagles in general are an adventure. That puppy is keeping me on my toes. Speaking of which, I better go let him out or I'm going to have to do some cleanup on aisle 5. So, everybody have a great week or 3 or 10 or however long it is till the next one. And I will catch you later.